Welcome to the Julia and Gino podcast, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from a family perspective. We are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro. Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Julia and Gino podcast. I am here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Hi, Julia.
Hey.
How you doing?
I am awesome.
What are we doing today?
We're getting to meet a new person. I love meeting, you know, new, especially authors, wives, family, women. I love it. So I'm excited about this.
So this
podcast.
Author's written 7 books. And as I said to her before the show, most Americans don't even read 7 books in their lifetimes. And she's written 7 books. So she's written her most recent one, 52 Weeks in the Word. We're going to go over that one as well. But we're excited to be interviewing Bible study teacher and author of numerous titles, like I said, Tricia Newell. A busy mom of 2 very active teens, Trillia knows the struggles moms face when they try to create and keep a Bible readings plan. Trillia's newest book, 52 Weeks in the Word, a companion for reading through the Bible in a year. She teaches us how to start a year-long reading plan throughout the Word of God. Welcome, Trillia.
Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're super excited to have you. And I just curious, you know, what, tell me why you started writing all these books. What was your, what was your idea? Like, what was the first book you wrote? Why did you write it? And why did you continue? Because I do know for myself, my husband, we all have these ideas and we want to, you know, take action and really make a difference in the world. But what actually was it that said, I'm actually going to do it?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I was a freelance journalist, so I wrote for my local paper. It's called the Knoxville News Sentinel, since I know you are familiar with Knoxville. And so I did featured stories there, and I loved it. But I didn't have a chance as a freelance journalist to write from a Christian perspective, because I'm reporting, and you're not supposed to do that. And so I wanted to be able to write from that perspective. And so I started doing a blog and started doing, which back then was a big deal. Now, not so much, but I started blogging and people just started taking notice. And it was the different articles that just connected with different people. And that's when I wondered if the Lord might have an opportunity or something for a broader audience. And it was confirmed when one of my articles went, I call it Christian viral. So not really viral, just viral in a really small space. And and publishers started reaching out to me. So I actually didn't set out to go and write all these books. And once they did, because I was a writer and I did enjoy writing, I sat down and thought, okay, if there's something here, maybe so. And clearly it was so. And so that's how I got started, though. It was freelance journalist and being faithful to serve through writing on a blog and articles.
Maybe you should tell your fellow journalists that there shouldn't be writing from a slant, whether it's Christian, whether it's secular. It's really not opinionated stuff. I'm just saying, I don't know if you're doing it, you could do it yourself, but I guess, you know, it's amazing. When did you become a Christian?
Oh, I love that question. I became a Christian at the age of 22. Ooh. So I was a young adult. And when I was 19, someone shared the gospel with me, or the good news. And I kind of rejected it, but not, you know, I heard her, and I felt something like, Lord, is this true? Okay, but I didn't want to submit my life to the Lord. And so I kept walking the way I wanted to walk. And then after 2 broken engagements, I was pretty humbled and went to her church, and I became a Christian. I gave my life to the Lord. And the rest is history from there. It's actually pretty remarkable.
What was holding you back from giving your life to the Lord early on?
Well, you know, I would say there were a few things. One was kind of fear of some, I knew that if I was to proclaim that I was a Christian, I needed to live like a Christian, that I knew that that meant I was going to be submitting my life to the Lord. I was going to be giving over my life. And I had some fear about holding on, like, I don't know if this is actually freedom. Is this freedom? I don't know. I also had a boyfriend. And I didn't want to give up being with him, or that yeah, I just thought I knew what I would need to do if I said yes to the Lord. But the Lord took care of that because I had two burger engagements and both were with him. And miraculously, gosh, about a year after I gave my life to the Lord, he did too. And we've now been married for 19 years. So
Wow, that
the
is
Lord redeemed
amazing.
all of that, our story. But yeah, those would be the two things that I think held me back, because walking with the Lord is submission to the Lord.
Exactly.
Those who shall be humbled shall be exalted, and those who exalted shall be humbled. Julia, I am awesome, Julia, okay?
I do love that you told that story, because that happens to so many of us. And, I talk to a lot of women, especially a lot of families, and even just their values. Like, what do you hold value? And, for me, it's God, God first, my husband. And the question I always ask is, are you living according to to those values? And everyone's like, oh, yeah, definitely. And I'm like, all right, give me some examples. Oh, okay. And then it's like, wait a second, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not, because when we actually ask ourselves that question, it's we have to be honest and say, I'm not living according to. And like you said, you kind of wanted to hold on to that other life, and we had to let go of it. Oh, that's so hard, isn't it? But it's not. Looking back, it's like, actually, it was the most beautiful thing I ever did.
And it was true freedom.
100%. Because it's like not your will at that point. It's like, all right.
So Trillia, when you saw this and you started reading the Bible, was it challenging for you at first? You started picking it up, you see all the different books and the way it's written, and was it challenging for you? Because it's still challenging for me to this day.
It's still challenging for me to this day too, because there's so much, especially in the Old Testament. I would say the New Testament, it wasn't hard, but I don't think I, and especially now that I've really read it, I realized how much I would skim, or I didn't know what I didn't know. So you just read and you don't realize that, oh, this has a real context. And if you don't know the Old Testament, it's really hard to understand the New. But that, I think, is the beauty of it all. We will be learning for eternity. We're never going to arrive. There's so much richness and depth in the scriptures that I don't know. I find it really exciting that almost every time I pick up the Bible and I read through it, I learn something new. So yeah, when I barely knew the gospel whenever. So I was learning everything, and I devoured books and the Bible, and I was just trying to study to learn as much as I could. And so yeah, it was very much confusing to me at first, and it continues to be a discipline and a joy to learn, because there's a lot in there.
Sure. I have to admit this. It's really hard for me to read, especially the old. I'm with you. I actually have started last year listening to a podcast, which is called Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. And funny enough, that was like the number one podcast during COVID. And I thought, well, that's some good news. Isn't
That is.
it? Okay.
That
People are, a little scared maybe, and
Trillia, let's say a person's listening to this and they're overwhelmed. And they're saying to themselves, how do I start? What habits? Because you said discipline. Because
yes,
anything in life, you need
100%.
discipline, you need to build habits. How can I pick up the Bible and start incorporating it into my life?
You mentioned at the top of our time together that I wrote a book called 52 Weeks in the Word, and the goal of that book is to help someone, either whether they've read the Bible 50,000 times, or they've read it for the, or they're just picking it up. It's helps organize it for someone who maybe is kind of unsure of how to read or where to begin. I just begin in Genesis. However, someone else might begin in Matthew. And then that's okay. I think the goal is to ask the Lord for help, pick it up and read. And I think if you whether wherever you begin, the discipline really is about getting yourself in a place where you can read or listen, or however you want to engage the word. I think it's just really important. One real practical tip is to, and this sounds very practical, but we schedule everything. We schedule this podcast. So why don't we schedule something like Bible reading, or just put it in there, because that might help you to make a habit, to build that habit and that muscle. We know, if for coffee drinkers, if we're going to get up, we're going to get that coffee going. No one has to tell us to do that. And so that kind of, it's a habit. We can do the same thing with Bible reading and it not be legalistic. In other words, it can be, you can do that knowing that you won't earn any favor before the Lord. It's not that. It's not adding any kind of rule. It's for your joy. It's so that you can know him. And so I hope, yeah, I think that we just have to build that muscle, especially also with COVID, where that could have atrophied because of just the busyness of life and all the new and different things that we've been exposed to. So I think we can do
And
it.
how do you incorporate it with your family, with your children and your husband?
Yeah, that's important. I have to just put that out there because a lot of us, we really do, like I said, we homeschool. And I'm like, all right, kids, you're going to do, Bible history now, or history, or whatever it is. And then I don't live by it. And then I, you know what I mean? I'm like, it's like, all right, I'm going to go in the kitchen. I'll talk to you later. So it's a big responsibility that we have as parents to pass along our faith to our children.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm really glad that you said, and then I don't do
Yes.
it.
Oh my
Because
gosh.
that's most of us. Most of us,
Yes.
if you set out, okay, we're gonna have family devotions every Monday, it's like, stop doing that. Close your mouth. Get that out of your mouth. Like, it's a mass chaos.
Yes.
However, it's worth the trying. But for us, we have teens. We are mostly in lots of conversations with them, and we're also modeling it. So we're sitting down and having our what quiet time, or whatever you want to time it, call it. And they see it. They see that, oh, mom's at the table reading her Bible. And so there's a modeling, and then dinner time, there's conversation. We do not, I did read Mere Christianity with my son, and we would talk through it. And I did a Bible study where with my daughter. So that I am, we are in, that is some intentional discipleship that I've done. But daily Bible reading is mostly just lived out in front of them and just talking. Hey, what are you doing? What are you reading? What are you thinking? And
Yeah.
that's how we
I love that you're realistic because I think a lot of our audience needs to hear that. They see you have all these books, very successful. They see us. My husband's very successful. I kind of
You're
make fun of
successful
myself.
too.
And but we are realistic. We mess up quite often. And we were like, oh, I never, I think about our oldest and I'm like, I really lacked certain things. And I look back and I really am hard on myself and regret and all that stuff. But it also, they learned a lot of things on their own that they wouldn't have learned had I, structured their life so perfectly according to what in my head was the plan. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, well, and you all know, what is the scripture? Many of the plans are in a man's heart, but the Lord directs his steps. We have a whole lot of plans, and we can
Yes.
do only what we can do. But the Lord is so faithful and good, and I do believe, even listening to you guys, I feel pretty confident that the Lord is using your example to shine bright Jesus to your
Thank you.
kids.
Thank you. It means a lot.
You wrote here, there's a question that you wanted to share with us, and I've been looking at this and I've been pondering, what's the difference between reading it and studying the Bible? I mean, like, I'm a really good reader, you skim through it, but when you study it, what are the differences?
Well, you use the word skim, and that's a really good one for me to grab onto. Reading is really about comprehension. You're going to be reading to understand and to grow. And to be honest, sometimes you skim through, you see all those lists of names, and you're like, okay, we're going to get through it. In terms of the scriptures. But when you're studying, a lot of people use what's called inductive Bible study. So you might observe the text. You're going to interpret. So observing, you're looking at the context, interpreting, you're cross-referencing, you're trying to figure out what the original writers would have been trying to say in the Greek or Hebrew. So that's interpreting. And then you're applying. So that's a studying. It's a deep dive into the text, where reading is you're reading through. You might experience those three things of observation, understanding the context, interpretation, and application, because the word is living and active. So you're likely going to experience that. But when you're studying, it's more concentrated. Now, here's the thing. You cannot study without reading. So take Hebrews 11, for example. Hebrews 11 is what people call the great cloud of witnesses. And in it is the Hall of Fame of Faith. So you get all of these people like Enoch and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Rahab and all of these people who had David, who had strong faith. Well, you can read that list and you can say they had strong faith. They did this. God called them wise, or Enoch, he walked with God and it pleased him. Well, what does that mean? If you don't go to Genesis 5, you're not going to know what that means. So you've got to read the text. If you're learning about Rahab, but you don't go to the Old Testament and understand the story and why, what she was doing with the spies and all the whole story and the Jericho and all, you're not going to understand it. You're not going to get the faith part. So you have to be reading in order to fully understand the what even something like Hebrews 11 is talking about. So they go hand in hand, but studying is a little deeper.
What part of the Bible do you struggle with as far as reading a story? And I can give you an example. When I always read the parable of the prodigal son, it took me like 20 years to figure that out. And it's just like, I'm like, man, the older son is getting the shaft, you know, the younger son, but I get the parable now. But it took me a long time and I wrestled with that for years. Do you wrestle with any stories in the Bible?
Okay, so interestingly, that wrestling, like, that could be, maybe there's a unique interpretation of it, and I would be really curious to hear what
I can tell you what it is.
So the thoughts are, I'm the older, responsible,
he's the older brother,
great brother who crushes it, does everything he's supposed to. And I'm not saying it's my younger brother, but I could see as an older person doing everything responsibly, being there for the dad, taking care of everything. And then all of a sudden the younger one goes out and squanders everything, loses everything, and then comes back. And the dad has not put any love towards the older son. Although I understand, like, you're there, you're part of my life. But then the younger son comes back, and I understand the parable of being the lost son. And now Jesus has that one sheep that he's lost and brought back. I get that all conceptually, but I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about feelings and emotions, right? Yeah. I'm like, this dude went out, he partied. Being I didn't dad. Party. I went out to the field. I work the fields every day. I did the books. I did the payroll. You don't worry about nothing, Pops. The money's coming in. All of a sudden, my brother comes back and goes, we're killing the cow. That's not what happened about me. I don't get any feasts. My friends ain't come over to party. This guy came back. He doesn't have sandals on, and you're hooking him up. And what about me? That's how I used to feel. I don't feel that way anymore, but you can see how it is.
This is the absolute best conversation ever, first of all. But I love it. Well, yeah, I think that would be really interesting. And those are the kinds of engagement in the scriptures that are exciting. And I think that's a fair question. Like, wait a minute. But I can't even remember the end of the story. That's so funny, because the older son wasn't rejected, right?
He was no
so, and he was loved and cared for. Okay,
yes.
So anyways, mm-hmm. which is a good thing. Yeah. So anyway,
sure, but the good thing
it's
about
more about
that,
me though, Trillia. It's more about me and how I'm interpreting it. I'm like, it.
What was
well,
the book that we that we
it was
the, it's called The Prodigal Son.
It's beautiful. Yeah. We have a picture at church. We walk in, you actually see the painting. Who did the painting?
Rembrandt
did the painting. And you look at it,
book The Prodigal Son, and it talks about the painting and it talks about the parable and
how the father is the father, and he's also the mother, because he's taking it's just amazing. And you see the older son who's there, and he's really stern.
I'll tell you what helps you understand. When I put your two of your girls in the same situation as the boys, and I said, you're the father, now look at it from his perspective.
Yes.
And that was the time you're like, oh, okay.
Yes, no, I get it.
It's interesting when we always choose, I know, I don't even know where we're going with this conversation, well, but we always choose one character and put ourselves in just their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good opportunity to say, okay, let me see the other side to it, or one of the sides to it.
Well, and what I love about this is that most of us would put ourselves in the father's shoes.
Yes, yes.
Not most of us would say, wait a minute, I'm the older brother.
I think a lot of the moms would put ourselves in the father's shoes. Well, Just saying.
I never did. And it's a great story because it's all about redemption. It's all about that the younger son saw that he did something wrong. And the older son, so there's jealousy involved. I get it. I mean, but the younger son should come back. And he, it's just, to me, it took a long time for me to realize that and to see I guess that's what it's all about. It's all about forgiveness. It's all about giving the person a second chance. And it's about the father who's like, thankfully, my son is back. And it's about letting go of your son. He let his younger son go. So I guess as parents, we need to let our younger children go. Hopefully they see the light. Hopefully we've taught them and we've modeled enough that they come back to us. So I'm just joking a little bit. Not too
You're
much.
You're not joking at all. This is how my life is. I just want to tell you, this is how exciting it is. And I love every minute of it.
It is.
Put
fun.
It out there.
Well, he asked me and I went on a tangent because it was such a, you say that and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. I would say really long, like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, those are the texts that my eyes start to cross and I'm like, what's up? So those are kind of the things that I can get lost in. And it's mostly just my brain has to concentrate and that's, I'd like to read actively, which is why in 52 weeks in the Word, I have space for you to write so that your mind is engaging, active reading rather than passive reading, because you start thinking about lunch and dinner and who you need to pick up and you can, your mind can be distracted. Sure. And so that's, but that's a great question. I think the scriptures can be challenging at times to read, and that's okay.
I
read Isaiah a few weeks ago with a gentleman who used to play professional football, and we just started reading, and he said, I said whatever you want to read Isaiah. I'm like, going way over my head on Isaiah. I'm like, I struggle with that text. I don't know, I read it like three times. I'm like, Julia, I still don't know what's going on here. Can you help me out, please? So it was very, very challenging.
Read Isaiah 9 when we get off and you'll be amazed.
I will. What was your favorite book to write out of all the seven?
Oh gosh, that's so hard. It's almost like choosing your favorite baby, but not.
I get it.
What comes to your mind? Bam. First thing that comes to your mind.
Okay. Well, I really have enjoyed writing the kids' books and writing the Bible studies and 52 Weeks in the Word. So those would be my favorite genres that I've written.
Tell us about the kids' book, because obviously, you know, we all have children and we do have a kids' book as well. And so I want to hear about it.
Yeah. So I wrote I've written three kids' books. One is called God's Very Good Idea. And it's all about the beauty of diversity and how God has created us in the imago Dei, in the image of God. And it's just, the response has been really encouraging and just delightful. Mm-hmm. The second one is the Big Wide Welcome, and it's on James 2 and the sin of partiality, or favoritism, as I call it. And that was just a fun one to write also. And then the Creative God, Colorful Us is kind of God's very good idea for the reader, the middle grade reader. Mm-hmm. I have some more coming out with Crossway, which is a publisher that I'm really excited about. And those will come, one of them will come out in September of 2023. So that's exciting.
It's exciting to watch you talk about the kids' book, because as a mom, you know, we're trying to do these little things and put ourselves out there for the kids. And it is very encouraging to watch you talk about it and all the work that you're putting into it, because it's a responsibility, right? And to reach out outside of our home to touch other people's children and help them and encourage them and to, you know, let them know their purpose is just incredible.
It's a lot of fun.
And I was listening to you on a podcast or in an interview about fear. And me and my wife talk a lot about fear and how can you overcome fear? Is it something you can overcome? I don't know if you can. It's always in the back of your mind. What are your thoughts on fear, overcoming them? I mean, coming up against your fears?
Yeah. So I don't think we will ever fully overcome some sort of fear. We're going to have a fear of failure, fear of all sorts of things. And, you know, I think of the scriptures where Sarah didn't fear what was frightening. So there are things that are just going to be frightening. And so for me, it's about building the muscle of running to the Lord. So building that, and so kind of like sanctification, as we grow more and more in the likeness of Jesus, we repent quicker, we turn from what we're doing quicker, we confess quicker, and we'll be able to run to him quicker as in our fear. So I don't ever anticipate a day until I see him face to face where I'm completely fearless. Mm-hmm. I am going to work when my child drives off to college. It's going to be like weeping and and I have going to have a unique prayer life because I will be so afraid. I know this, but I can entrust him and entrust those cares to the Lord. So these are the kinds of things. I think it's false to say that we're going to be overcomers or as if we're never going to experience hardship. It's not the reality in this fallen world.
Trillia, I know a guy that if you don't want your kids to go to school, they don't have to go to college. I can just pull the applications and say no. And that fear doesn't have to come real. So that we can overcome that fear. But you said something really interesting and really what I like there is it seems like we just run to the Lord when we need help, not when things are going good. Have you experienced that in your life? Because for me, sometimes I go throughout the day and I don't even think about it. That gratitude is so important in our lives.
Amen. Amen. You know, it makes me think of the scripture, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything gives thanks because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's 1 Thessalonians. And I think if you are building a habit of Bible reading and engaging with the Lord in reading and prayer, that daily communion, you will be running to him in both good times and sorrow. It's a good reminder. Of course, we then can forget about him the rest of the day. But I think, I think that there is a temptation to be self-sufficient, to do things in our own, with our own wisdom and our own understanding and our own strength, and not to rely on the Lord, especially in times of prosperity.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Last question for
me. I have to put something in there about going to college because our oldest has left us. No, she's doing really good work. She's leading teeth to Christ. I can't complain about that, but she's not here. She's in Georgia. And I have to tell you, when she left, it was like a struggle for me because I had to literally let go of control. I had to surrender it. I'm like, I can't. I every once in a while I'll check her. I'm like, where are you? What are you doing? How you doing? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to let go. And it was that moment where I had to trust God, but I also had to trust her.
Yeah.
And it was a new, I have to tell you though, I learned so much from it. And so I'm looking at it now as like just an amazing piece of my life where, you know, we always think we're in control. We just do. We think we have it all together. Everyone's under our control, but it's not the case. And so it was moments like that when I realized, okay, I just need to surrender this and let it go and let God take care of anything he needs to do.
Yeah.
So you will be there and I want you to let me know how it goes because maybe you'll write another book on when my child goes to college, what I've learned.
There you go.
Trillia, yeah, last question for me, technology, because I'm the anti-tech person, Jake and I really are terrible. Do you use any apps? Do you use anything to help you with
With Bible,
No.
Oh, I was like, yes, Instagram. Yeah.
you could. I guess you could. I mean,
no. I actually, you know, it's interesting. I don't use apps. I don't use a lot of apps. I know that. Okay, so 52 weeks in the Word is a book, but they are creating an app for it also. But I think it's only going to be for a podcast that's going to run with also the book. Anyways, that tells you how much I use that. So I don't use a lot of apps, but I know that there's lots, like YouVersion is a good Bible app, and ESV has a Bible app, and so there's lots of apps, and I just don't tend to use a lot of them.
We don't either. That's why I asked.
I'm surprised that you asked that question. I just ordered Costco.
She seems young and she seems hip and she's like, yeah, I'm into this technology stuff. And yeah, so I figured, you know.
Okay, how old do you think I am? You don't have to answer that.
Better than that. You know what I mean? I'm not making that mistake, you know?
That's awesome. I got called a grandmother this weekend, so I just want to tell you that. So,
yeah. I think we're all the same age, just so you know.
It's Julie, a good age.
This has been really, to me, an enjoyable conversation. Where can the listeners, where can they get a hold of you? Where can they buy the books? Where can they visit your website?
If you can spell my name, which is the hard part, you can find me, because everything's at TrillianNewbell.com.
TrillianNewbell.com. BELL.com. And I want to thank Trillia for triggering me. I haven't been triggered on a podcast in a long time.
Thank you.
You know what? In reality,
I love it.
I triggered myself. So I'm out there thinking, am I a Gen Z-er?
You know what? I just love when you get like that. It makes me happy. I just sit back and it's like watching a show. You know what I mean? It's just like I get my popcorn out, you know?
You enjoyed it, huh? I love it. I'm here to please, baby. That's what the job is. Here to please. I want to thank you for coming on. This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this. And go to TrilliaNewbell.com. If you are seriously considering stepping up your game and allowing Christ to take over and to submit to his will, follow Trillia Nubu. Thank you, Trillia. We appreciate it.
Follow Jesus, but thanks. Thank you, guys.
And follow Trillia through Jesus.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.